Okay, we've got it together over here. Boker Tov world. So wonderful to be with you again, Baruch Hashem, what a nice. And today's daf in Masechet Shavuot, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, another nice, is daf Lamed Dalet. And let me just remind you what has been happening, all of the exciting events. So, we saw in the Mishnah that the only time that you're chayav shvuos ha'edus is if the bottom line was money. But if there's any other purpose in the edus, doesn't matter how important it is to the person and how much money it may ultimately bring him, for instance, the question of whether he's a kohen or not. I mean, it makes all the difference in terms of his getting truma and so on. But if the edus is not about money, then it's not going to be mechayev you a korban olah v'yared as a shvuos ha'edus. So we wanted to know, where does the Mishnah get that from? So we had four different approaches yesterday, especially Rabbi Yossi Aglili's approach was like really brilliantly creative. But I won't go over all the four. I'm assuming you're holding that much on the sugya that you recall. And the last one that we learned was Rabbi Shimon. So we're still in the middle of Rabbi Shimon. And because of the fact that we're going to be analyzing Rabbi Shimon a lot today, because they laughed at him in Eretz Yisrael about this svara. So I'm going to go over it and ask you to really concentrate on recognizing exactly the details of what it was that Rabbi Shimon said. Rabbi Shimon said that it's a clear-cut kal v'chomer, that if a pikadai, the shvuos ha-pikadai, the Torah makes four different examples of pratim of what shvuos ha-pikadai is on, all of them are monetary. So there's no question that there the Torah's makbid dafka on a denial of a monetary debt, and that's the only time that you're going to be chay of a shvuos ha-pikadayim. He makes a kal v'chomer, but just like the shvuos ha-pikadayim is limited to a tviat mamon, it's limited to a bottom line that has to be nogea cash, money. Shouldn't say cash, but money. And so too, as a kal v'chomer, the shvuas ha'edus could only be nogea cash. Because, look, shvuas ha'pikadon is a much, much broader chiev, and it's therefore much more likely to be mechayev you. And even so, it's only limited to issues of money. So, too, the shvuat ha'edut, which is nowhere near as broad as the shvuas ha'pikadon, for sure should be limited to being mechayev you only where it's nogea money. And Rabbi Shimon spells out the different ways in which he feels that it's a kal v'chomer and that shvuas ha'pikadon is more broad, more likely to be chal than a shvuas ha'edus. Why? Because a shvuas ha'pikadon, first of all, women and men are exactly the same. Relatives, non-relatives, exactly the same. People that are posel for edut, people that are kosher for edut, exactly the same. On a shvuas ha'pikadon, you are chayev separately for every single one of the shvuas that you make, which deny the chiyev. But when it comes, that's even in front of a court. And shvuas ha'edus, you are not going to be chayev other than for the first time that you make a denial in court, because after that, it's no longer relevant, since you're not able to be made any longer once you said it. So it's a kal v'chomer. If even shvuas ha'pikadon, which is so likely to be chal, is not chal, if it's not on an issue of money, certainly shvuat ha'edut is not going to be chal if it's not about money. That was Rabbi Shimon's logic yesterday. And that brought us up to the top of Lamed Aleph. And he himself, now Rabbi Shimon, begins to attack himself to get to the bottom of what the real limud is. So he asks on himself, but mala pikadon, shiken lo asaba mushbar ken ishba. Now, wait a minute. When it comes to shvuat ha'pikadon, over there, the Torah does not make the person who is mushbar mipi acherim the same as someone who is mushbar mipi atzmo, because it only talks about, in shvuas ha'edus, it only talks about v'shama kol Allah. And when it talks about the shvuat ha'pikadon, it simply says that if he is makhish with the shvua, doesn't say a word about somebody else making an Allah or a shvua of any kind. Now, it's true Now, we do learn out one from the other, but we're going to get into that problem in a moment. But first, let's see how it is that he feels that he can show that his logic is not really correct. So the mushba mipi acherim is not mentioned in the pasuk of a pikadon. And furthermore, you are not in a pikadon, you are not going to be chayev on mezid kishogeg, because the only way we knew mezid kishogeg was because it left out of the ne'elam, remember, in the din of Shvuat Ha'edut. And from there we said, how come on all of the other Shvuot it mentions ne'elam, the only one that we managed to leave out the word ne'elam is the Shvuat Ha'edut. So from there we discovered that it must be that there is no necessity for ne'elam, and that you would be chayim on a Shvuat Ha'edut even if you did it on purpose. So maybe over there, it's only limited to money, because it's also limited in not being chal on a mezid and in not being chal on mushba kenishba. Masha inkein, if you're talking about a kal v'chomer to edus, it's just the opposite. Actually, edus is more chomer, because tomar be'edutshkin asaba mushba kenishba u'mezid keshogeg. So when it came to that, the Torah was more machmer. So you're chayv an oil of a yered, even if you did it on b'mezid, as we said. And it says beferish v'shama kol Allah, that even if the person hears the shvua mipi acherim. So if that's the case, you can't come along with a kal v'chomer, since in certain ways the shvua se'edus is even more chomer. So therefore, says Rabbi Shimon, what it all boils down to is Talmud Lomar, techeta techeta l'gzera shava. Since it says by Shuas Ha'edos, Beferish, V'nefesh, Ki Techeta, V'shama Kol Allah, and it says by the Shuas HaPikadon, it also says Beferish, Nefesh, Ki Techeta. So we have the same idea of Techeta in the Pikadon. So if that's the case, Nefesh, Ki Techeta, V'kichesh. Now, I just want to point out, because we're going to be talking about this in a minute, that the pasuk of Pikadon does not only say v'nefesh ki techeta, it says v'nefesh ki techeta u'mal amal ba'ashem v'kichesh ba'amito v'pikadon. And we're soon going to see that that's an important extra word. But anyway, forgetting about that for a moment, just like over there, by shvuat ha'pikadon eino medaber ela tviat mamon, afkan eino medaber ela v'tviat mamon. So then, remember, we had another basis to this connection between the Shvuas HaPikadon and Shvuas HaEdut that was a Gzeira Shava. What was that? That was Reb Eliezer yesterday. Reb Eliezer, he made this fascinating comparison of a Gzeira Shava because of the fact that it says, oh, by all of the two of them. It says by Edus and it says by Pikadon. So it seems to be coming out basically the same idea. Rebbe Eliezer learned that Shvuas HaPikadon and Shvuas HaEdus are a Gzera Shava from the O-O. And that left him open to attack about what about O-O by Sota and what about O-O by Ritzicha. And it got a little bit kvetchy over there where we had to say that it's different and it has to be only types of O's that don't appear with Kohaint and that do appear in the context of a Shvua. Now, Rabbi Shimon seems to be getting around that by simply going directly to the techeta that appears both by Shvuas HaEdus and by Shvuas HaPikadon. Okay. Now, going back to that beginning, right, which was O-O, we're going to go through Rabbi Eliezer first. Matki for Rabbi Barula. So now Rabbi Barula goes and shows that Rabbi Eliezer seems to be wrong. You cannot learn out a Gzera Shava from the O-O because you forgot about another O-O. Namely, Matkif L'Rabba Barula, what about Shvuas Bitui? It says, O Nefesh, Ki Tishaval Vatei Lara, O Lehetiv. So we got O-O by another Shvua without a Kohen, and it's talking over there about a regular Shvuas Bitui, which obviously has nothing to do with money. Over there it's talking about, you know, this thing, I'm not going to eat the pita today. All those examples that we had, It's Bedavrim Shalobit Viat Mamon. So what right does Rabbi Eliezer have to say that since O by Pikadon is talking only about money, therefore O by Eidos is talking about money, why not say since O by Bitui is not talking about money, O by Eidos is also not talking about money? So Rabbi Eliezer has not handled yet all of the possible attacks from other examples of O-O's. Well, Rabbi Eliezer actually felt that it's more logical to learn out a Eidos from Pikadon than to learn out Eidos from Bitui. Why? Because Mistabra mi Pikadon avale lemedav, because it says Techeta by both of them, and that Zereshava of Techeta is actually more reasonable as a connection, a specific, unique connection in the context of the Korban Olah V'Yored than O-O, which has really nothing to do with the issue. It just happens to be a language point. Says the Gemara, Adarabba, he should learn out the dinim from the Bitui, because a Bitui is chayev in a Korban Olah V'Yored. But if you're going to be learning it out of the din of Pikadon, remember, Pikadon is not one of the Korban Olah V'Yored. Pikadon comes later, and it is talking about the Korban Asham. So doesn't it make more sense to learn a Korban Chatas from a Korban Chatas than to learn a Korban Chatas from a Korban Asham? Not to mention that these are both examples of the unique Korban Chatas, which is the Olah V'Yored. Okay, I'll give you another point. You have to look at this globally. So from a global perspective, let's take a look at all of the things that are shared in common between a Shavuos HaEdos and a Shavuos HaPikadon, okay? Number one, both of them talk about a chet that you've done by utilizing not words just in general, O-O's, but actually talking about the lashon of chet, the chata'ah. Secondly, both of the Pikadon and the Eidos are chayev in a korban, whatever that korban is, both of them are chayev on a korban, even if it was done b'mezid. So we know that at least that's what it says later on. We're going, right now, this is, we don't know 100% that Rabbi Eliezer holds that. But assuming that he holds that, then that would be the din. That if you take a Shavuos Bitui and you do it on purpose, then there is no chiyuv of korban because it says v'ne'alam. But in the other cases, it does not say v'ne'alam. And over there, which we're going to see soon, the din is that you would be chayiv. We already saw in the case of the Shavuos Eidos. We're going to see it in the case of the Shavuot HaPikadon. So you're chayiv even on amazing. Both of them, Shavuos Eidos and Shavuos HaPikadon, are made as shvuas in the context of a legal claim. Tav e v'kafre. There has to be one person who is suing, the other person who is denying. The case of the Eidos, somebody is suing the witnesses and insisting that they come to court. In the case of the Pikadon, we are suing a person for the Pikadon that he had and he denies it. And both of them are v'avre. This is part of the lashon of the simon. And both of them are talking about something that happened in the past. Because even Shvuata Edut, the Shvuata Edut is, no, we did not see the Edut. No, I did not get a Pikadon in the case of Shvuata Pikadon, right? So they're both talking about things that happened in the past. Masha Inken, the main case that's mentioned in the Pasuk about Shvuata Bitui is Lehara O Lehetiv, which is all about the future. Don't you feel great in just being able to throw around these concepts now just after just 1 month of learning Shavuos, and it's all like second nature to me now, like breathing out, breathing in. So is it fun? We've only got a smile from Akiva. Nobody else gives me a smile. Thank you, Akiva. Ah, two smiles. Three. There we go. Okay. So the Chora, that would explain on a global level why they are so similar. So they got these four similarities. Says the Gemara, no, if that's the issue, the similarities, I would say, makes more sense to learn a Shavuos Ha'edos from a Shavuos Bitoy. Why? Okay, first of all, both of them bring a Korban Chatas, and a Shavuos HaBikudin is a Korban Asham. Now, that is a very important comparison. Secondly, Sheyarda. Sheyarda is, again, in the Siman. It means a Korban Ola V'Yored. So it's not only a Korban Chatas that they share, but they even share the unique status of a Korban Ola V'Yored. And that means Bitoy and Eidos are strongly related. And not only that, there is no Chomesh. Now, when it comes to the Pikadon, somebody who denies having had a Pikadon or other monetary, whatever, found something in Aveda or could say, whatever the cases were, he has to add an additional 25%, which is 20% milabar. And that is not the case when we're talking about a Bitoy or Eidos. So that additional complication, which is unique in the Shavuos HaPikadon, shows that Pikadon is in a set of its own. And therefore, it makes more sense to compare it to Bitoy. True, true, says the Gemara, but there are more ways, as we saw before, there were four ways in which the Shavuos HaEidos and the Shavuos HaPikadon are similar, and there's only three ways that the Shavuos HaEidos is similar to Shavuos Bitoy, and therefore, let's take the ones that are Hanech Mefishin, the one where there's more things in common, of the Shavuos HaPikadon and the Shavuos HaEidos. Okay, so now we went through the first sheet. That was Rebbe Eliezer's sheet. And now let's move on to the second sheet that we had yesterday, the second sheet of how we know that we're limited only to monetary tviot and shvuot when it comes to shvuot ha'edot. So the second one was Rabbi Akiva. So Rabbi Akiva said that since it says, v'haya ki ye'esham le'achat me'ele, so me'ele seems to imply that it's not ele, it's rather me'ele. So not all of the above cases are going to be mechayev yishvua. There are some of these, yesh me'ele shuchayav, and some of these in which is potter. And therefore, it's clear to me, now we don't know how it's clear to him anyway, but he says it's clear to me that what are the sum that you're chayev on? That's monetary issues. Tiva'o mamon, you'd be chayev. Tiva'o davar acher, you'd be potter. Says the Gemara, well, maybe it's clear to you. How does it clear to us? Epochana. Maybe just the opposite. Maybe the me'ele comes to tell me if it's nogea money, then it doesn't come under the category of the Korban Ola V'Yored of Shavuos Ha'edos. If it's nogea other issues, such as the cases in the Mishnah, come to testify that I'm a Kohen and or that I'm a Levi and so on and so forth. Maybe dafka the opposite. Those are the ones that you'd be chayav on, and the money ones are the ones that you'd be putter on. Ah, you see, you have to understand that Rabbi Akiva was not speaking in a vacuum. He was basing his point on the fact that we also have Rabbi Eliezer's issue about these OE, right? So he says that there are cases of the OE that since it says me'ele, there are even some cases of owing, namely cases of monetary issues, where even there, there's no din of Shavuos Ha'edos. What is the referring to? If Rebbe Eliezer and Rebbe Akiva are both relying on the owing, which tells us that we learn out Shavuos Ha'edos from Shavuos HaPikadon, what additional point is Rebbe Akiva making? We thought it was an independent point. So now it turns out there are three basic shitas, and how we know that we're only talking about money, because Rabbi Akiva wasn't saying his own approach. And then there's an additional subdivision of what type of money you would be chayav Shavuos Ha'edos. So what is that? What exactly was Rabbi Akiva saying does not find itself as the type of money that you'd be chayav Shavuos Ha'edos on? Ah, that would be the difference of Eidei Karka. So according to Rabbi Eliezer, since he doesn't have the additional me'ele, and he says anything there, the bottom line is monetary, that is b'chayev yishvua Ha'edos, so that would include, according to him, even somebody who says to some witnesses, you were there when I purchased this property. I need you to come forward and testify. I lost my stars. You come, whatever. Right? So according to Rabbi Eliezer, you'd be chayav, because the bottom line is that's no gay of the man's money. And of course, this has nothing to do with the general idea that ein nishbarin ala karkaot, because they're not swearing about the karkaot, they're swearing about the edus. The edus happens to be about money that is relevant to karkaot. So according to Rabbi Eliezer, you'd be chayav. But according to Rabbi Akiva, since we have an additional limitation of mei ela and not kol ela, that tells us that those things that are otherwise not meant to trigger a chiyav on a shvua is even true over here lagabi edus on karka. Fine. Now, what about according to Rabbi Yochanan? Rabbi Yochanan later on, which we'll see later on this week, so Rabbi Yochanan says that a mashbia ede karka is potter even according to Rabbi Eliezer. And that's because he learns that neither shvuas ha-pikadon nor shvuas ha-edus can be made on karka. Right? So Rabbi Yochanan says that, look, even Rabbi Eliezer, who holds that there is a din, this revolves around another issue in whether karka has the same din of mamon that normal things do. And there the machlokas is there a mitzvah of hashavas hagizela on someone who stole karka? Or do we say, if you stole karka, it isn't the same as a chiyav of hashava, where over there you could take something into your rishus and actually physically remove it. So over there the Torah is said to be meshivas hagzela. But karka, where it's basically, the karka cannot be stolen in the way that metatlim are stolen, so over there the restoration of the proper rights to the baalim is not included under the mitzvah of hashavas hagzela. So the Gemara suggested over there that if that's the case, that karka liba, the Rebbe Eliezer, the idea would be that there's a chiyav, aliba de Rebbe Eliezer, since there's a chiyav, aliba de Rebbe Eliezer of hashava, so then maybe according to him, you would be chayav on ede karka. So Rabbi Yochanan says over there, no, the idea of ede karka and shvua is not related to the hashavas hagizela, and even according to Rebbe Eliezer, you would be potter. Okay, so now if he holds that, so then, what would be the difference between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva? Because we said the whole difference between them being as both of them rely on the O-O, and it's just that Rabbi Akiva has the additional miut from Me'ele. We said until now that according to Rabbi Eliezer, you would be chayev even on a bottom line that involves testimony that is valuable, but it's valuable because it's real estate value. Then that's the difference between them. Rabbi Akiva is not including that. Rabbi Eliezer is. But according to Rabbi Yochanan, even Rabbi Eliezer says that you do not have a chiyav of shvuas ha'edus on ede karka. So now what would be the difference between Rabbi Eliezer's drasha of O-O and Rabbi Akiva's drasha of O-O in conjunction with Me'ele? Now, how do you explain the other shita? My ika ben Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Akiva. Well, we can always go back to our old standby. Our old standby that we talked about yesterday, that we were never able to determine what the din is, was what would be the halacha of a shvuas ha'edus on knas. Do we consider that to be an actual mamon issue? Or, since it's possible that the person would be modem mipater, that it would not be included. So that apparently would be the difference. According to Rabbi Eliezer, you're chayev, because he only has the O-O, and according to Rabbi Akiva, we have an additional pasuk, that it has to be me'ela, not kol'ela, so you think to yourself, what are the type of tviot mamon that are not precisely the same as a straight-out monetary value? That's knas, because the person could always be moda before I get into court and pater himself. Okay. Now let's move on to the third shita. So we've handled Rabbi Eliezer. We've handled the differences of Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Eliezer. The next case that we had was that beautiful case of Rabbi Yossi Aglili, extremely creative. Rabbi Yossi Aglili said But since it says in the pasuk, for who aid, o ra'ah, o yada. Now, what is that supposed to mean, we said yesterday? There's obviously a new concept of testimony about something that you did not see, but you knew, or you knew and you did not see. Because otherwise, what's aid, o ra'ah, o yada, for heaven's sakes? So therefore, we've got to be talking about, said Rabbi Yosef Glili, about a particular situation where the edut would be mitkayemet either with re'iyah, but you don't know what you saw, you don't know how to interpret it, or with knowing, but without having seen it. So remember what those two cases were. The re'iyah b'lo yediyah was that you saw the money being handed over, but you had no idea whether what you were looking at was a drug transaction, or whether you were looking at was a payback for a loan, or whether what you're looking at was making a loan. You have no idea. But we arranged the case where the person who had denied that this ever happened said, look, if you could show me that this transference of funds took place, then I'll realize I made a mistake and I'll pay you, and so on, right? So that was talking about the re'iyah without a yediyah. And the idea without a re'iyah was where you overheard somebody being modeh, and the guy doesn't remember any such thing. And he says, if you can bring me people that heard me be modeh, I'll certainly stick with what I said. So that would be a case of yediyah below re'iyah. So then that means the only possible way that we could be talking about edus of that type, that is just a ra'ah or just a yada, has got to be monetary, because I can't come up with any case. Well, wait a minute, I can come up with a case. I mean, I can understand why Rabbi Yosef Glili would not agree with that case. So, but, if I can come up with the case, it would be a proof that Rabbi Yosef Glili does not agree with the case. Because otherwise, why would he have said it's got to be talking about a bottom line of money if there might be another case that is not related to money, and it's this still could be a ra'ah o yada. So I would suggest that we can prove that Rabbi Yosef Glili does not hold like Rabbi Acha. Because Rabbi Acha holds that strong circumstantial evidence is acceptable in actual chiyuv of edus. What's that case? That was the case that we had, the Tanya of Acha Omer. Now, this is a case that we've referred to numerous times, that a camel in heat, and this camel, we're talking about a male camel here, but a camel who's turned on by a female, and now there's a lot of aggressive behavior in camels, and they, you know, they kick and they really fight off the other males, and this camel was ocher, so ocher, if you remember, Chazal say that camels will copulate rear to rear. Okay, I don't, whatever the meaning of that is, we call copulation among camels ocher. So if he was ocher ben agmalin, and now there's a dead camel right where he was, and we didn't actually see him kill that other male, but it's obvious, says Rav Acha, b'yadua shezar ago, and he's going to have to pay, the owner of the camel is going to have to pay for his murderous, aggressive camel. Now, how can he have to pay if we don't have witnesses? You see from there that according to Rav Acha, we take the understanding of the circumstances as sufficient to indicate to us what the chiyuv is. So now, it's true that Rav Acha's particular case is a monetary case, but the same principle would be true across the board. If we accept circumstantial evidence that's strong, there would be no basis of only accepting it in monetary cases. So therefore, if Rabbi Yosef Glili is agreed with Rav Acha, so then we could have a case, the famous case that we spoke about before. And this was the case of Rav Shimon ben Shetach. We could find a case of Dinei Nefashos where it would be important to have your edut, and it wouldn't have anything to do with money. It would only have to do with nefashas. And that was that amazing case that we had in Makkos of Rabbi Shimon ben Shetach. Rabbi Shimon ben Shetach came along and he said, "Ere'eh b'necha ma, im lo ra'iti achad shiratz achar chaviru l'churva, v'ratzti acharav, I'm telling you, I saw a guy chasing his erstwhile friend into a kurva where nobody could see what happened. I chased after them. I find the guy's holding a dagger. It's dripping with blood. The dam mitav teif, and the victim is lying on the ground in the last stages of dying. And I say to him, Horog is mefarfer. I say to the guy, Russia, mi haragoz. Who was it that killed this guy? It's either me or you, because there's nobody else here, and I know damn well it isn't me. But what can I do? I can't act against you, because the Torah says, al pishnayim edim u'shlosha edim yumatam et. But I can tell you this, buddy, may God pay you back. And indeed, they say, they didn't even have a chance to move away from there before a nachash came along, and the guy died on the spot. Ha! Zorachin nechasho nachash v'meit. Now, if you hold the Rav Acha, that's pretty strong circumstantial evidence that this guy killed him, right? So that we should be able, on that basis, to testify that he's chayav of Misa. So there would be a case of Shvuata Edut where it would be O Ra'ah O Yada. So since Rabbi Yossi Aglili said there is no such case, it must be that he agrees with Rabbi Shimon ben Shetach, and he would not agree with Rabbi Acha. Not necessarily, says the Gemara. It's possible that he would agree with Rabbi Acha, but that's because, remember, the diak of Rabbi Yossi Aglili is from Eid O Ra'ah O Yada, which means you have to have a case which is Re'ia without Yedia, and Yedia without Re'ia. Now, this is a case. This Shimon ben Shetach case is only a case of a Yedia without Re'ia. But where is the Re'ia without Yedia? I can't imagine a case like that that would work out in anything but the monetary case that we worked it out in, where the guy claims that you were Moda in front of these people and the guy doesn't remember it. Fine, okay, that idea. You could be Moda. I mean, but you can't be Moda that you murdered somebody and have the guy be made and have that be testimony, obviously. So how could there be a case of a Re'ia without knowing what that Re'ia would be? Let's say, let me ask you something. Let's say they actually see a murder. Right? So you say, okay, so what do I need a yediyah? Of course you need a yediyah. Because what are you going to say? I saw this guy murder and that's enough. We're not going to have to ask him, well, you saw a guy murder what? Did the guy murder a Yisrael or did he murder an Akum? Did you see whether this guy was a Trefa? Maybe he murdered a Trefa, in which case he would be Pater. There's no way that just seeing a murder is going to be Mechayev. And therefore, we're going to have to cross-examine you, and you're going to need a yediyah. Bashenkin, in the case of that we were talking about of Re'iyah without yediyah, that it had to do over there, just the fact that you saw the guy said he's ready to pay, that we could have. Okay, so now we've seen that you should be able to have both yediyah without Re'iyah and Re'iyah without yediyah. But so it seems from there that Rabbi Yossi Aglili would also back in our favorite Abaye that we've had here throughout the sugya, what would be the din of Eidei Knas? Well, interestingly enough, it would be mashma from Rabbi Yossi Aglili that if you were mashbia Eidei Knas, you would be potter. How is that? Because the Yisak Adaita Chayav, Nihidi Yediyah below Re'iyah Ashkechanla, you've got a case. Yes. In that case, you can find a situation where you know something and you didn't see anything. That was the case, for instance, about a knas. Well, let's imagine a case like this. A guy is chasing a woman into a churva. Now, we happen to know on the basis of medical examination, we know that this woman was a betula. We now come in and the only person that's in this churva is this guy and this girl. Somebody took out those bitulim, and there was only one guy around who could have done that. So that should be a yediyah without re'iyah. But how could we actually be mechayev someone if we saw somebody rape a woman? How could we be mechayev without a re'ia b'lo yedia. Because, I mean, wouldn't we need to know, milo b'ay meita, whether this girl was a Jewish girl, and therefore you're chayev for the rape? Or wouldn't we have to know that he knows whether it was a bitula or a bu'ula? And therefore, since there's no such case, it would be clear that in the case that we mentioned over here of this guy went ahead and had raped someone, that that would not be included in the dinim of the chiyuv of korban ola the yared on eidos. Now, Rav Amnuna was sitting in front of Rabbi Yehuda. Now, Rav Amnuna was trying to get into the yeshiva over there. He hadn't yet passed his entrance examinations, you know, and he's still sitting in front as one of the Talmidim, and Rabbi Yehuda raises a question. And he says, what happens if a guy says to another person, Mana miniticha b'fnei ploni uploni, I made you a loan, and I counted out $100 in separate bills in front of Mr. A and Mr. B. And these Mr. A and Mr. B were actually outside. They had no idea what was going on. They didn't know whether this was a loan, whether it was a payback for a loan, or whether it was a drug deal. All they see is a guy counting out cash to another guy, right? What would be the din benogea this carbon aetis? Amalei Rav Amnuna, Rav Amnuna, who was in the audience, he stands and he says, well, what did the other guy say? Did he say, lo hayu dvarim me'olam? If he said that never happened, so then he would be huchzak kafran. We now know that when he denies the loan, he is a liar, because something happened. He's claiming nothing happened, and we have witnesses that something happened. So then we would not be able to accept his taina. He's going to have to pay. If he said, yes, of course I took that money. That money was actually not making a loan. It was money that he owed me. And I took that money, and I took it was my own. So what meaning would there possibly be to those Adim if they don't know anything about it? And therefore, there would be no question as to what the din would be. Omar Lay, Sir Rav Yehuda said, Amnuna, baby, come on up. Ulta, Amnunat, I see you're not only named Amnuna, you really are a Amnuna. And we can trust you to come up with the right shot, and that was a good turn. So come on in. Ahudi Omar Lay Lechavre, let's take another case that is like this one. Somebody says to a friend, Mana maniti lechabitzad amutze. Listen, what do you mean you don't remember? We were standing right next to that lamp pole, and I counted out the money to you, and you have to pay it back. The guy says, lamp pole. I never passed by that lamp pole in my life. Anyway, these two witnesses come, and they say, well, I mean, we're sorry to say that we saw you urinating on that lamp pole. So maybe you never saw the lamp pole, but the lamp pole sure saw you, buddy. So what's the din? Omer Reish Lakish, Huchzak Kafran. He showed himself to be a liar, and therefore we don't accept his taina that he didn't pay, that he never had this loan made, and he's going to have to pay it. Maskeforim Nachman. That is the kind of din that they have in the Israeli court system. That's a din of parsa. I know the Persians have those kinds of laws. No people have that. Mika Omar Me'olam? When he said, I never passed by that lamppost, he never said, I never passed by in my life. He said, I don't know what you're talking about. I never passed by the lamppost where anybody ever counted me out money. It's always contextual. Bruce is not talking about his whole lifetime. Now we're going to start counting the times he urinated on the lamp pole. It's ridiculous. And he never meant to insinuate that he was never near that lamp pole. He meant Be'esik Zeka Omar. Okay, that's one way it was said over the Baisa. Ikari Amri, others say it a little bit differently. Ahudi Amri Le'lechavre, Mane Maniti Le'chabitzad Amudze. That in this case, where the guy said, I counted out that $100 right by that lamp pole, the guy said, I never in my life, Hey Olam, I never passed this lamp pole in my life, And that, of course, is a whole different situation in which we have the same witnesses in this story that claimed that he actually had urinated on that lamp pole. So Rabbi Nachman said, in this version, Rabbi Nachman said, look, the guy is clearly a kafran, and if he claims it never happened, then we just ignore what he said. We only have the other person's tfiya, and this person's rejection of the tfiya, his kfira, is not given any legal validity. So he has to pay. So that's what Rabbi Nachman said. So Rava said to Rabbi Nachman, not true. Now you'll remember the next words from the beautiful words of the Ramchal and the Mesilas Yeshorim. Go milta de lo ramile ali de inche lav adaite. A perfect gavi write-up. People don't remember irrelevant points. They're only conscious of things that they're paying attention to. Otherwise, they are automatons. So the fact that a guy urinates on a lamp pole is nothing that he's going to remember. The fact that there was money, now that's something else, that he remembers. And this is true, of course, as Ramchal points out, if you have no awareness of the various issues that you're a Zoris for or need to be a Zoyer for, and to you it's all background, you don't even know what happens in your life. And that is exactly what Rava Taimitz to Rabbi Nachman. Ko milsidol ramyalei ad inche. Ovidlo, he may do something, velava daite, and he's not conscious of it. He's working as an automaton. And therefore, even though he seems to be lying, we don't consider him to be a kafran, and he just simply didn't remember. Rabbi Shimon Omer. And now let's get finally to the last raya. And that was Rabbi Shimon. So Rabbi Shimon says, well, the Torah is mechayev you in the case of a Chiev Khan, and that was in the case of the Kal V'chomer that we made from Shvuas HaPikudin to Shvuas HaEdus, and so on and so forth. And then he ends up learning it from the Gzeira Shava of Techata Techata. Now, in Eretz Yisrael, when they heard that argument of Rabbi Shimon, they burst out laughing. Now remember, we learned before in Sanhedrin, whenever we hear those words, we know who it is that does the laughing. It's always Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina who bursts out laughing at the dumb people in Bavel. Anyway, so there must have been something ridiculous about what Rabbi Shimon says. But it doesn't seem ridiculous at all. My chukah, what's so stupid about it? Diktani. I mean, Rabbi Shimon himself ends up saying, Ma le pikadon, shekein lo asaba mushba kenishba mezit keshogeg. So I can't learn it out from the Kal V'chomer, because after all, Shvuas HaEdus is actually more chomer, in the sense that the mushba v'shama kol ala is just as chayev as the nishba, and in the sense that you'd be chayev a korban if you even did it b'mezit. So the reason that Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina burst out laughing is because that is the stupidest thing I ever heard. Remember, where do we know? How does Rabbi Shimon know that somebody who's mushpa mi pi atzmo be'edut? How does he know that the Shvuas HaEdus is chomer, that you're chayev either on a mushpa mi pi atzmo, or if you were v'shama kol ala? Remember how he knew it? He learns it out from Pikodon. I mean, that's the only limud that we had from Techata Techata. I'm assuming that's where Rabbi Shimon himself knew it. So if he knows that Shvuas HaEdus is Chayev Mushba Mipi Atzmo, the same as Mushba Mipi Acherim, because he compared it already to Pikodon, then he must have known that Pikodon is Chayev in the same way from Mushpa Mipi Acherim, because it'll know that from the Vishama Kolala of Edus. And I was going to learn out the comparison of Pikadon to Edus anyway. So how could he say something so ridiculous that the case of Shvuas HaEdos over there, you'd be chayev on either Shvu Mipi Atzmo or Shvu Mipi Acherim, but in a case of Shvuas HaPikudin, which is exactly the same, because it has the same Gezeirah Shava that is learned out from Shvuas HaEdos as the Gezeirah Shava that learns out Shvuas HaEdos from Pikudin, obviously. Do you ever hear anything so ridiculous? It takes someone who grows up in Bavel to be that dumb. So anyway, that's why he laughed at that. Excuse me? That's what he's laughing at? Wait, where does it ever say that Rabbi Shimon learned it out from the Gezeirah Shava of Pikudin to Edus? Maybe Rabbi Shimon learned it out from the Kalak of the Chomer that we saw before. If Mipi Achirim Chayev, if the Torah was Mechayev Eshvuas HaEdos, that someone else makes and all you do is your kofar, so Mipi Atzma Lo Kol Shekein, if you yourself made that Shvua, so obviously you'd be chayev, but in that case, it's only a one-directional kal vachomer. So that can't be what he was laughing about. True. Okay, how about this? He was laughing about the fact that mezid kishogeg. So he was saying that, well, look, I mean, the Shvuas HaEdos is so chomer because it makes mezid kishogeg mashenken pikada. And it says in the Brisa, this is the Brisa for Rabbi Shimon, Mala pikadon shekein lo asaba mushba kanishba mezit kishogeg. And what they were laughing at was, excuse me, mirde. How does Rabbi Shimon know the din of mezit by Edus? Where did he learn it out from? From the fact that it doesn't say v'ne'elam, right? That was the only raya. In all the other cases, it says v'ne'elam. And in this case, it was Edus. It doesn't say v'ne'elam. Well, guess what? When it comes to Shvuas HaPikadon, it doesn't say v'ne'elam either. Ha! So this is pretty dumb. He's making a lima that Edus is more chomer, because, well, it doesn't say v'ne'elam by Edus, and therefore Yechayev even on a mezid. Masha ain't came by Pikadon. What? Masha ain't came by Pikadon? Dumb, dumb. What do you mean? It doesn't say v'ne'elam by Pikadon either. You gotta be pretty stupid. That's why they were laughing at Rabbi Shimon. Amalu Ravuna. Excuse me, I don't know who's the stupid one over here, but there's nothing dumb about that, because Dilma Mezid Alav Kishogeg B'Pikadon, maybe Rabbi Shimon actually has a very sophisticated way of knowing that when it comes to the Shvuas HaPikadon, it is not the case that the not saying V'ne'elam means that you're chayev on the Mezid. I know for a fact that you are not chayev on a Mezid, because I know that we learn out from the word, and which I mentioned earlier, where it says, mo'ala bo'mo'al v'kichesh, then that mo'al me'ila is a comparison to the dinim of me'ila. And on me'ila, we know only a shogeg is chayev. There is no chayev on a carbon me'ila at all, in the event that it is b'mezid. So that's how we learned about from the comparison of Shvuas HaPikadon to a Moel Behegdash. And therefore, what is so stupid about what Rabbi Shimon said? Dilma mezid delav kishogeg b'pikadon mimeila Rabbi Shimon gomala. Well, that itself maybe is why they were laughing at him. V'ayinu chulka. Instead of learning it from me'ila, why doesn't he learn it out directly from Shvuas HaEdos? In other words, we've got two bases here of how to learn it. We know that on the one hand, a Shvuas HaPikadon is the Zegzera Shava of Moala B'Moal to Me'ila, where it also says Kim Yimo Ma'al. And there's also the Zegzera Shava of Techata Techata to Shvuas HaEdos. Now, it certainly makes much more sense that he ought to learn, instead of learning out that your potter on the mezit from Eila, he should learn it out from Shvuas HaEdos. So that's what they were laughing at. No. Excuse me? That's something to laugh at. Actually, he's right. It makes more sense to learn it out from Eila. Now, look, gentlemen, don't get confused. We've popped down quite a bit here, you know. We're talking about a completely different issue over here. Just keep in mind that we're only coming to establish what is so funny about Rabbi Shimon's Svara, according to Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina. All of this discussion is irrelevant to the broader issues in which Rabbi Shimon has offered us a third explanation. I don't say a fourth because we're counting Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Eliezer as essentially one A. Well, it's actually, 1A is Rabbi Eliezer, 1B is Rabbi Akiva. So we're talking about now why it would make sense for Rabbi Shimon to learn out that a pikadon, shvata pikadon, is putter if it's done purposely, to learn it out of Me'ila, rather than learning that it would be chayav if it's done purposefully from Eidos. Why is that? Because it's more similar to Me'ila. Because, after all, shekein mi'ila, mi'ila. I mean, this is very striking, isn't it? That we have both of them called mi'ila. So, for sure, that must be the reason. I mean, why would you call a shvuas ha'pikadon mi'ila? It's like weird. So, I mean, that is a very striking comparison. And, therefore, it must be that that's the halacha, that in the case of a mi'ila, his shogeg, and only shogeg, is chayav a korban ashem me'ila. Same thing must be true about a korban ashem for shvuas ha'pikadon. No, I don't agree to that. Adarabba. He deserves to be laughed at. He should have learnt it out of Eidos rather than out of me'ila, because, I mean, what about techeta, techeta? So, that's where he should have learnt it from. All right, let's talk globally, okay? I'll show you that Rabbi Shimon makes much more sense to learn it from Me'ila, because it is similar in six different ways, that we could learn it out from Me'ila, okay? Let's start at the top. Both of them are called Me'ila. One, Shekein Me'ila. Secondly, both are Nogea everybody, not only people that are ro'i for giving the Eidos, right? Only males and only not krovim, et cetera, et cetera. Thirdly, in both cases, the person got something out of his lie. So he's only chayav on me'ila, the me'ila, sort of, which we're calling a type of like a lie, similar to pikadon. He's chayav only if he was nana from a hagadash. And the case of a pikadon is only if there was a bottom line of money that he actually is being kofer on. Masha Einkein Shvuas Eidos says that doesn't give any hana'ah whatsoever to the Eidim, so therefore it's not similar to this. So the Shvuas HaPikadon is similar in a third way. They're both ne'ne. And in a fourth way, both of them are chayev, a carbon kavua, and not a carbon olavi oreid, remember. And that olavi oreid was dafka by the Shvuas HaEidos, but not by the Shvuas HaPikadon. So in that sense, the Shvuas HaPikadon is more similar to Me'ila. Furthermore, both in the case of someone who denied owing money, he has to pay an extra 25%, and so too by Me'ila, if he was Mo'el and Hegdash, he has to pay another 25%, yet another way in which they're similar. And number six, they are both chiyuvim of a korban asham instead of a korban of a chatas, okay? So I think Rabbi Shimon makes a lot of more sense than those stuck-up people that are laughing at him. No, I could tell you just the opposite. Actually, there are many ways in which it's more similar to learn a shvuas ha'pikadon from shvuas ha'edus rather than learning it from Me'ila. After all, we have both of them are called chatas. They're called echet, says the chata'ah, right? So both of them are called echet. Furthermore, both of them are talking about non-hegdash. On the year you're comparing it to something that is hegdash when it's not hegdash. Third, both of them are referring to cases of shvua. What the heck does Me'ila have to do with shvua? Fourth, they are also, both of them come about through a suit and a countersuit. So it's a tviya and a kvira, where Me'ila has nothing to do with anything in Bezdin. And number five, we've got our favorite Owen situation, Both of them are O's, and that was a reason why they were similar. Yeah, okay, fine, but that's five and that's six, okay? So there's more ways that the chi of avishwez hapikadain and the din of me'ila are similar. So it was more logical to learn it out from shvuz hapikadain from me'ila and to tell me that there is no din of chi of anmezid. So excuse me, every time that you try to find a reason to laugh at Rabbi Shimon, he turns out to be right. So, Elamai Chuka, you tell me, what was he laughing? There wasn't anything to laugh about. Well, Kiyozer of Papa, Ravuna Beredo, Rabbi Yeshua, Bebe Rav, when they came back from the yeshiva, they had an approach. And they said, you know what they were laughing about? Mirte, look, let's think about it. Rabbi Shimon used this Izera Shava of the dinim of Shvuas Eidos, and Shvuas HaPikadon. And that we ended up, remember, he said, I can't learn it from a Kal Vachomer, but it does say Techeta on both of them. Okay, so we know that Rabbi Shimon has a Gzeirah Shavah. Now, who ever heard of somebody asking questions on a Gzeirah Shavah? Lomalei Deporech, why would he now try to come along and say, Ma'ala pikadon shekein lo asaba mushpa kanishba, mezid kishagi. Don't you understand that he's talking nonsense? If on the one hand, he knew this gezeirah shavah, so how could he have said that actually my kal vachomer is no good because there is a big difference between shvuas hapikadon, where it's not going to be chayev if he's mushpa mipi acherim, and he's not going to become chayev if he's bemezid, excuse me. You have a Gzeirah Shavah. How can you say it's going to be different? How could it possibly not be the same as Shavuos Eidos if the Torah compared it with the Gzeirah Shavah? So you're running around in circles. You say, well, my Kal Vachomer doesn't make sense because after all, it's not the same when it comes to Mezid Kishogeg. It's not the same as Mushpa Mipiach. It sure is, as it must be. Because if after all, in the end, we discover that you know that Gzeirah Shavah, then you knew all along that it's exactly the same. Yeah, I don't understand. Isn't that the whole point? Rabbi Shimon is saying that if I just approach this with a Kal Vachomer, and I didn't have the Gzeirah Shavah, so I wouldn't be able to learn it out, right? Because they would be different. And therefore, comes along the Gzeirah Shavah and tells me that no, actually they are the same. I don't understand it. So that was before he had the Gzeirah Shavah. That was the whole point. So my chukah, what are you laughing at? He said my Kal Vachomer is no good because of the difference between Mezid Kishogeg and Mushpa Mipi Acherim. But that's before he ever mentioned the Gzeirah Shavah. That's become to take him like Gzeirah Shavah. But now, once he knew the Gzeirah Shavah, obviously he wouldn't have said that it's different. Both said to come like Gzeirah Shavah or Parith. Oh, really now? You're telling me that Rabbi Shimon would not have disavowed his Kal Vachomer if he knew the Gzeirah Shavah? But didn't Rava Bar Itai say to the Rabbana, Man Tana Shvuas HaPikadon Lo Nitan Zdona LeKapara? Who's the man, the Omer, that ever said that if you're amazed on a Shvuas HaPikadon, there is no Chiyuv of Korban? That's Rabbi Shimon. Excuse me? Rabbi Shimon never said that, according to what you're saying. Rabbi Shimon only said that before he finished what he was trying to present, namely, that there is a Gzeirah Shavah. That's what you said. And now we're saying, no, that is Rabbi Shimon's considered opinion, that in fact, a Shvuas HaPikadon is not going to be chayev on a mezid. Here says it's Rabbi Shimon. So, you see that, in fact, he does contradict himself. That's why they were laughing. I still feel that Rabbi Shimon is more sophisticated than the people who are laughing at him. Because, look, it's very possible that even after Rabbi Shimon is ready to admit, and this was the way that he presented his din, right? So therefore, it comes along Rabbi Shimon and he says, look, my Kal Vachomer doesn't stand unless I present this Gzeirah Shavah. So you took for granted that if he presents the Gzeirah Shavah, it's going to tell me both the fact that a mezid is chayev in shvuas hapikadon, and it's furthermore going to tell me that which it's going to be chayev on whether you made the shvua yourself, like it says in Shvuah Zepikadon, or whether somebody else made the shvua, like it says in Shvuah Se'edus, right? Well, that's a rather simplistic way of looking at life, my friend. Because actually, you might hold of the Gzeirah Shavah when it comes to one particular issue, but not when it comes to the other issue. And I'll explain to you why. Because when it comes to Mezid Kishogeg, even after this is the Gzeirah Shavah, he still would have said, look, you cannot deny the amazing fact of how the Torah insists on comparing the din of the Shvuas HaPikadon to Me'ila. Why in the world would the Torah have used the word Mal Mal, for heaven's sense? We're not talking about Me'ila, we're talking about a guy who denies owing money. So that was so powerful to him, remember. And we counted the number of ways. Tell me the number of ways you love me when it comes to comparing it to Shvuas HaPikadon. 6 different ways I love you. And if that's the case, so then you had more ways, remember, more ways that we should compare it to Me'ila. But Mushba Kenishba, over there, he actually has the Gzeirah Shavah that tells me straight out that they're the same. And we don't have the more ways to compare it to Me'ila. It has nothing to do with that. So actually, Rabbi Shimon makes a heck of a lot of sense in this particular din of the Chiyav of Mezid Kishogeg. He does not learn it out from Shvuas Se'edus because there are 6 different ways in which it's more comparable to the din of Me'ila. And that is not true about the Mushba Kenishba. All right? So far, you don't have the slightest reason for laughing at Rabbi Shimon. And if the BBC and the Washington Post could take back the idiotic lies that they said yesterday, perhaps you'd be ready to publish a public apology to Rabbi Shimon. Well, there's still one thing I could say. And that is, v'te'edar edut v'tigmar lami pikadon. Why don't we? Let's say that everything you've said is right. But the thing that doesn't make sense is to look at the Gzeirah Shavah now and apply it backwards. Let's learn out Shvuat HaEdut from Shvuat HaPikadon. Now that we know that Shvuat HaPikadon, the din is that the Mezid is not Kishogeg because we learned it out from the din of Me'ila. So just like a Pikadon is only b'shogeg because of the limud from Me'ila, but not mezid. And we have the techeta is a gzeirah shavah. So now we should say that af edut, only a shogeg, but not a mezid. I mean, Rabbi Shimon himself learned out pikadon from Me'ila. He was the one who did it. So if he's the one who did it, how come he doesn't consistently follow through and say that the same thing is true about the Shvuas HaEdus and that there is no chiyav on the Mezid? No. Here is once again where it is that Rabbi Shimon makes more sense, because Rabbi Shimon is saying, look, why do you think that the dinim of Shvuat HaEdut are written together with the dinim of Tumas Migdash V'Kedoshav and together with the dinim of Shvuas Bitui in the Parsha of Korban Olah V'Yored? I'll tell you why. It's because of the shocking fact. You see, you didn't think about the context. You were saying, well, Jabin, just because it doesn't say Vinelam, that don't prove anything. I mean, it doesn't say Vinelam by Shvuas HaPikadon either. That was stupid. Because why would it say Vinelam by Shvuas HaPikadon? The word Vinelam is meaningful in context. So we had Tumas Migdash V'Kedoshav, Vinelam, 2 times. We have the din of Shvuas Bitui, Vinelam. And now we come to the other case of Vinelam by Shvuas HaEdus, and there it doesn't say Vinelam. That shows something because of the context, not because it doesn't say Vinelam. That's ridiculous. It's because it doesn't say Vinelam contextually. That's what we were being medayed. So since the Torah B'davka puts them together with the whole Tumas Migdash V'Kedoshav thing, which we didn't think that had anything to do with the price of eggs in China. until, of course, we found out the whole beginning of the Masechet and all of the hidden interrelationships. Well, that was the point. That was the Chayev al Hamezid Kishogeg. And that actually is why Rabbi Shimon is maybe more sophisticated. Now, this last thing at least does not leave the Mechakole B'Ma'arava as they're being wrong, because this you can argue on, I understand. On the one hand, you have a real Gezeira Shava, you know, and on the other hand, you have Vinelam. And, I mean, I ask you, the fact that the word Vinelam is missing, that is more than a Gezeira Shava? So that is grounds for Mechako Alei. That's maybe why they were laughing at him. The power of the contextual meaning of Vinelam, according to Rabbi Shimon, this is a matter of judgment. Is that going to override the Vitechata Vitechata? Okay. So you want to laugh at it, go laugh at it. At least you can't say the people who were laughing are crazy. But, I mean, you could certainly understand why Rabbi Shimon would insist that his approach is nonetheless correct. Okay, this was a very sophisticated daf, and it is a beautiful, beautiful peek into the kind of logic that's been used even to analyze why someone would speak disparagingly of something and to try to find all of the ways. I think it's really beautiful to go through every last possible knitch as to why it would be that someone would find this ridiculous and actually the other party would be correct. I think it's just wonderful. Speaking about these childish BBC idiots or Washington Post idiots, if they would learn to use their brains a little bit by learning a Daf and Gemara, even one time, maybe we could save the world. All right. This is what, one who wrote, this is my God. Hi. Gosh, it just popped out of my head. Richie, who wrote? Woke, thank you. Yes, yes. So this is what he did. I told you he was at this Swiss, the Swiss chalet and was there together with, like some of the biggest greats in physics. In other words, E. Feynman was there, a number of other people, and he learned Daf Yomi with them. And they're like blown away. They got totally into it, discussing the Tosfos Kashem. It's like unbelievable. So yeah, you know, he says all you need to do is show somebody one time what's in the Daf. He was literally a Daf Yomi, not a Daf Gemara. He used to Daf Yomi wherever he was. And, yeah, makes a big impact. Okay, Rabosai, that's wonderful. And looking forward, I see Richie wants to go ahead and do another Daf. Apparently he's just sitting there anxious to think. Oh no, Richie! Tell me it ain't so.
The test for this daf is given. I'm writing. I'm getting a note from my doctor.
Oh my gosh, Richie!
I'm not going to show up,
Richie.
I'm not going to show up this test. It was interesting. I could sort of but don't ask me what Rabbi Shimon said and why.
Oh my gosh! They were doing. You know what they're going to be saying about Richie? Mechaku ala berakia. They laughed at him. They said, Richie didn't know Daf Lamed Daled. I don't know whether he's going to be able to get that beautiful, beautiful. I mean, there might have been 72 virgins. I mean, I won't tell Mika anything about that, but I mean, Richie.
I have to say,
too late for that, Rabbi. Anyway, I'll tell you what, you can give me a dunce cap and I'll stand in the corner. Yay.
And there's actually a remiss to that in the Pusik too. Yeah. Okay. All right, Richie, we love you. Take care. Go to.